Luke 2, 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had happened and what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
What's everybody doing? You guys are, you made it here, you skated here this morning. This is awesome. This is good to be with family, isn't it? I know a lot of people look at Christmas in very different ways. A lot of people look at Christmas as whoa, it's Christmas. Oh, it's an exciting time of year. Some people look at it as it's a busy time of year. It's okay. Some people look at it as a really hard time of year. Some people, any number of us, are in a lot of different ways and areas. And we want to celebrate Christmas together this morning, wherever you're at. That sound okay? We're going to keep it real simple this morning. I want to talk about the Christmas story from the perspective of Mary and the shepherds. Maybe a few angels in there too. So back to Luke chapter 2. On Thursday night we had our annual youth blitz. It's basically an all-night Christmas party. We had 110 people, and I lost my voice screaming at kids all night. So my voice is starting to come back. I hope you can hear me okay. We'll try to get through this. Let's go back a little bit here. Treasure up and ponder. So I thought it was interesting, in the middle of this story talking about the angel coming and meeting with the shepherds. Angel comes and meets with the shepherds and says there's a baby born in Bethlehem in the city of David. You should go check it out. In the middle of this story, in the middle of this shepherd story, it throws something in there. Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. In the middle of the shepherd story, it talks about Mary treasuring it up and pondering things in her heart. Treasure up and ponder. We're going to get to that. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Shepherds in the fields nearby, not too far away. Shepherds in this time, in this day and age. I brought my shepherd staff. This is what we're going to use next week if your testimony gets too long. We're going to hook you, and if you still don't shut up, we might hit you. I'm just kidding. All in love, of course. Of course, I got my shepherd hoodie here. I love sheep. You like that? They used this yesterday at the 4 o'clock service for a drama. But shepherds, in the day and age of Jesus, when Jesus was born, shepherds were very much looked down on. They were kind of the bottom. And you even look further back. You look at somebody like David in David's time. You guys remember David was the youngest of had seven older brothers. David's the youngest. There's not really much else for you to do. Go watch the sheep. It was a job nobody wanted to do. It was a lonely job. It was a job that even if you were a good shepherd and did your job well, you still were not trusted. If you were a shepherd, if that was your occupation, your voice did not matter in a court of law. Your voice held no weight because shepherds can't be trusted, even if you were a good one. So I want you to just think, there's shepherds taking on a job that no one else wants to do out in a field, right? And what they would do is build field stones around the sheep pen. They'd build this walls, and then there would be they would build the walls around it. And a lot of times they were hired, and they were watching somebody else's sheep. See, a lot of times what would happen is shepherds were notorious for stealing sheep, stealing stuff. I'm watching my. I don't know what happened to the sheep. It got picked off by a wolf, and actually they would be selling them. Israelites actually made a rule. You cannot buy sheep from a shepherd. Now, I want you to just think for a moment. They got field stones. They're hanging out. There's some guys hanging out at the entrance of the sheep pen, and they're on alert. Their ears are open, right? They hear a snapping twig or something. They got to jump up and go protect their sheep, right? Predators, thieves, anything trying to get in, they're going to be aware of it. Well, just think for a moment. They're kind of attuned to what's going on, even when they're sleeping, because that's their livelihood. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. You're already kind of anybody ever like gotten in your car, turned your car on, and somebody else had left the radio on full blast, and it scares you? Anybody do that? I do that all the time. Like, who would listen to it that loud? That's basically what was going on. It was volume one, and all of a sudden, volume 12. Right? It says they were terrified. See that word, terrified? Angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Why would they be terrified? Because they were not sitting out in the field having a Bible study. These were shepherds. These were lonely shepherds. These were guys that nobody else really liked. They had a job that no one else wanted. They're out in the field. Can you just imagine what their conversation was? And all of a sudden, an angel appears. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Sage, can you come here a sec? This is my daughter, Sage. Oh, you don't have to put your shoes on. Come on. This is my daughter, Sage. She has no idea I was going to do this. How are you?
Good.
Good. How's it feel being up here? Good. Okay. Now I want you guys to just think for a moment. I want you to compare our bank accounts. Who's got more money? She does. Uh-huh. I want you to compare life experience. I want you to compare how powerful. She's pretty strong against her siblings, but in comparison to me, she's kind of weak. She's daddy's girl. You look at all the stature, all the things I could compare myself to her, right? I'm powerful. I got more money. Right? What are we comparing ourselves to? What am I comparing myself to? A child. Part of the reason that shepherds were terrified is because something came into the field that they started comparing themselves to. It says the glory of the Lord shone around them. You look at other instances in Scripture when God showed up and when the presence of God came and when the glory of God came. Look at what happened to Isaiah. He fell down on his face. I'm a man of unclean lips. No, get me out of here. You look at John when he's on the island of Patmos and the presence of God comes and meets with him. What is it? What happens? He falls on the ground as dead. You look at other instances throughout Scripture when God showed up. Oh my goodness, it puts me in perspective. Right? We might think we got so much going on. We're so big. We're so powerful. We're so awesome. We got so much money. We got this. We got that. We got an awesome job. But when God shows up, this is a lot of times what happens. Terrified. Because all of a sudden we have something new to compare ourselves to. All of a sudden, there's something exposed in our life, in our heart. The presence of God comes and exposes things, doesn't it? Exposes who we really are. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Okay, easier said than done. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. Now I want you to just think for a moment. Angel could have appeared to anybody. Angel could have appeared to anyone. And he appeared, first of all, to some shepherds on the side of a hill. This is the first fruits of the gospel message. Jesus came not for the big, the strong, the powerful. He came for the broken and the hurting. He came for the ones that don't have stature. He came for the ones that the world would look at and say, "You don't have it." He came for the ones he was sent for, the broken, for us who are broken. Amen. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you'll find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. Now just think for a moment. There's an angel speaking to you, and all suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." There's an angel appeared to them. They're freaking out. Oh my goodness. You know, the Bible's really cool. The Bible has a really cool way of, in Old Testament, New Testament time, shepherds were really looked down on, and Jesus took that same picture and those same broken, hurting people, and he redeemed it and said, "I'm the good shepherd." And he redeemed it and said, Psalm 23, "He's the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." He redeemed that picture of what a shepherd is. He's the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice, right? Oof. So all of a sudden, there's these shepherds hanging out. They're having a Bible study, and the angel shows up to them, right? They're terrified. He says, I bring you great news. All of a sudden, there's a host of angels. Anybody ever been in the dark before? In the country, when it's like really dark, there's not light pollution from the city, but it's dark, right? It's dark. It's dark out. I don't know what a company of angels showing up on the countryside would have looked like. There's a lot in this story. You just get your imagination going. Imagine what it would have been like. Imagine what would have been happening here. Glory to God in the highest and highest heaven, and on whom, on earth, peace to those whom, on whom his favor rests. I was reading a commentary and it said, all the things God does shows his glory. But when God sent his son, Jesus, to redeem mankind, showed the highest glory. It was the highest glory. There was this moment. Glory to God in the highest. This is not just my glory. This is not just the weightiness of God. This is not just, this is the glory of God. This is the highest glory. Me sending my son to die on a cross. There's no higher glory than Jesus coming to be Emmanuel with us. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, I want to just picture for a moment, you're hanging out with some sheep. All of a sudden, angel comes, speaks to you, said there's a Savior been born. And all of a sudden, there's a host of angels singing, glory to God in the highest. How are you going to get like? Oh my goodness, what did I just see? You'd have been kind of dreaming a little, right? I don't know what kind of drugs they would have had back then, but I would have been wondering. The angels are gone. I wonder what conversation was like. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. It doesn't say anything about them leaving anybody behind to make sure the sheep are okay. It just says, we've heard something awesome. This is our livelihood. I don't know if there was a tension or it was just like, we heard, let's go. And when you hear something about God and the glory of God, there's something in you that says, I want it, I'm going to go. I don't care all the rest of this stuff. Doesn't matter anymore. I'm going. Right? They go. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. These were the first evangelists. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now the same shepherds that their voice could not carry up in the court of law, all of a sudden people are listening to them. What was different? What changed in their life? What changed in their heart? What changed in their countenance? What changed? When you experience and see the presence of God, when you experience and see the glory of God, there's something in your life that changes. There's something in your life that I can't live the same. I can't be the same. I can't talk the same. There's something in me that's excited. There's something in me that's, whoo. I want others to experience it. I want to tell other people about it. There's an excitement. There's something that happened to the shepherds where people are starting to listen to them and they're being amazed at what they're hearing. All of a sudden, the shepherds that did not have a voice, all of a sudden had a voice. When you have an encounter with God, when you have an encounter with angels, when you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, His Spirit through you is going to give you a voice. His glory is going to give you a voice. Something changed, right? Then it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, up until this point, the angel came and visited her, said, you'll be with child. She later on, she goes to meet with her cousin Elizabeth, and her baby leaps within her belly. Right? You guys remember that? She knew something was going on. Joseph had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Said, don't divorce her. But up until this point, there was no one else, no other outward expression of what you have is something special and unique and awesome. And all of a sudden, these shepherds come out of nowhere and say, angels were speaking to us. What do you think that would have done in Mary's heart? I'm not crazy. I think of the emotion of giving birth to a son, the emotion of just that. And what do I do with this? And how do I celebrate this? And how do I, that in itself is celebration enough, but how do I share this with the rest of the world? And this is so awkward for me and my family, and there's just so much thing. I don't know how to explain what happened to me. I don't know how to explain it. All of a sudden, the shepherds come and they explain it for her. And then all of a sudden, wise men come giving gifts and saying, we're going to explain it all for you. What would have that done in her heart? Any of you mothers out there, you remember giving birth to your child, right? There's something about it, even when it's difficult, there's something about it that you treasure. Something about it, you gotta, all of a sudden she's pondering. What does it mean? She's chewing on it. She's thinking about it. What does this mean? Do you treasure this story? Do you treasure the birth of Jesus? We were challenged at the 4 o'clock service yesterday. Pastor Sam gave a quick message on. Actually, we'll turn there quick. This is John chapter 1. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It didn't recognize him, it didn't receive him. Why? I think we in this season we need to be challenged. In this season we can get so busy with friends and family and overnight parties and presents and the busyness and the craziness of life and travel and guests are coming and that we totally space out and forget what it's really all about. That we totally space out and forget. We don't actually treasure this time. We don't actually ponder it in our heart. We don't actually recognize Jesus for who he really is. So they didn't recognize him and they didn't receive him. This is a time and a season and an opportunity for us to recognize him and a time and a season and an opportunity for us to receive him. Now, there's some of you in this room, you've never received him before. It's time. It's time to recognize who he is. It's time to receive who he is. Amen? Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You receive him, you get to be a child of God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So good. Treasure up and ponder. I should probably look at my notes, huh? We're just keep it real simple today. I'm going to go back to the shepherd story. Mary treasured up these things, all these things, and pondered them in her heart. She treasured them. She's pondering them. She's thinking about them. She's chewing on them. And this is what it says about the shepherds. Shepherds returned. Where did they return to? Huh? They returned back to the sheep. They went back to their job, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. We're talking about resilience and thriving in tough times. Some of you guys calling you back into some very hard things. God's calling you back into some tough things. God's calling you back to your everyday job. Ugh, I'm just watching sheep. Sheep are stupid. I'm ready to kill them. Ugh, this is just so tedious, monotonous, right? Can you imagine watching sheep? Like, I don't know what you would do all day. You get creative, I think. But it says they go back, they return back, and they return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They return back with a different perspective. They return back with a different focus, with a different mindset. See, when we get in touch with the glory of God and the glory of God shown all around them, when there's an experience with the glory of God, it changes the way we see life. Changes the way we go into our situations. Changes the way we go into our work. Changes the way we interact with one another. It changes the way we see life. And all of a sudden, there's a response in our heart. I've seen the glory of God, and now there's going to be a response in my heart of worship. There's a response in my heart of glorifying and praising God in everything I do. Doesn't matter. I'm going to glorify and praise him because he's awesome. Because he's amazing. Because he sent his son to... Sent his son. Yeah, that story is a very cute Christmas story, right? We talk about an innocent baby sent. You gotta know it was the most violent story we've ever known. Redemption. Are you treasuring it and pondering it in your heart? See, that manger led to the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus led to the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus led to the death of Jesus, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the Holy Spirit. It put something in place. It put something in motion. Right? And I'm a father. I think of things from the perspective of a father. And if the father heart of God had in mind the whole time what he was sending his son to do, I'm not God, but I put my own human emotions into it. There would have been something so glorious and so joyous. At the same time, there would have been something very hard. Glory to God in the highest. So that manger to life, to ministry, to keep going on the death, burial, resurrection, the ascension, the pouring and filling of the Holy Spirit, still going on today. All because that manger. All because God sent his son. All because God is Emmanuel. God with us. Amen? Mary had been promised. Joseph had a vision or dream. Shepherds, they worshiped. They evangelized. It was the first indication and verification to Mary and Joseph. I want to end. We're keeping it simple this morning. I'm going to end with some questions. What is God calling you to ponder? You recognize Jesus? Do you receive him? How's that expressed? You receive him, you've recognized him, it's expressed in your life. It's expressed in your worship. It's expressed in what you say to other people. It's expressed in your interactions with other people. God's calling us to ponder on who he is. God's calling us to ponder, think about, treasure up this story, treasure. We can get so crazy with the busyness of life and the craziness of life and the craziness of the season that we totally forget and miss. We forget to recognize what it's really all about. I'm just as guilty as anyone. Truth be told, I thought I was I'm the man. I'm doing the blitz on Thursday night, and then I'll have a day to recover. And then Hannah was involved with the 4 o'clock service on Christmas Eve, and we're doing family time, and then I'm preaching Sunday morning. Woo! And then I lost my voice, and I was like, oh boy, what's going on? And Lord was causing me to ponder some things. It's causing me to think about what it's really all about. So we're gonna end with a video. This is a pastor, Dr. S.M. Lockridge, Calvary Baptist, San Diego. He's passed away now. It's a video. It's him just for 5 minutes expressing who Jesus is. And it's, every time I hear it, it stirs something in my heart. And I want us to, it's to stir something in our heart, and I want us to respond. I want us to recognize and remember who Jesus is. I want us to ponder in our heart. And there's a shepherd response that says, God, you're awesome. God, you're glorious. God, you're magnificent. You're awesome. And then we're just gonna spend some time in worship. Does that sound okay? We're gonna respond. We're gonna let our heart respond in worship. And whether that's in a exact song or is that just the overflow of our heart, however it looks, I don't know how it's gonna look exactly. I just want you guys get it. You know what I'm saying? Let's ponder this. Let's think about it. Let's think about who Jesus is. Amen.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my key. That's my key.
Amen. This song is the gospel message in a nutshell. It's the gospel message. It's Jesus sent his, God sent his son, Jesus. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, the cornerstone, the solid ground, firm from the voices of drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comfort are my own all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. They didn't recognize him, they didn't receive him. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Every sin on him was laid. God made him who knew no sin become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. When we're in Christ, God no longer sees us as a dirty, nasty, ugly sinner. He sees us as Christ. He sees us as righteous. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. Amen. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me because of what Jesus did, sin no longer has grip on me. For I am his and he is mine. How awesome is that? Bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. There's the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands by destiny. No power in hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. We get to stand in the power of Christ. We get to stand in relationship with the Father because of Jesus. I get to have a relationship with the Father because of Jesus. Every one of you in this room gets to have a relationship with the Father because of Jesus. Ponder that in your heart. Treasure it. Treasure that message. God, we don't want to be people that you come to visit and you come to, and there's no room for you in our house. Go be in the inn with the animals. We don't have room for you. Take the leftovers. Would you help us to give the first fruits of our life? The best. The best of our life. Lord, I pray for each one of us in here. Every single one of us in here, God, that we would have an encounter with you. And Lord, out of that encounter with you, there would be an expression and an overwhelmness, an expression of worship and gratitude and glory, the glory of God in the highest. Lord, that we can join with angels, that we can join and be a part of this awesome narrative. We can be a part of this awesome story. If you're here this morning, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never fully surrendered to him, or you've been one of those ones who you give him your leftovers. I don't really have time for you. I don't really have. God's inviting you into something this morning. He's inviting you into something. He wants relationship with you. He wants friendship with you. He wants time with you. He wants your heart. If you need to talk to somebody this morning before you go, get right with God. I'm here. Pastor Justin is here. There's others here that would love to introduce you to who Jesus is. They would love nothing more than to introduce you to Jesus. For the rest of us, pray that pondering and treasuring the gospel message would be something that's regular occurrence for us. Treasuring and pondering who Jesus is. It'll be normal for us. Jesus, I pray for everyone in here. I pray your blessing. I pray you would help us to remember what this season is really all about. I pray you would keep us safe on the roads. Keep our family of churches safe on the roads, God. Jesus, ask for your blessing as we hang out with family, some that don't know you, Lord, that we would be like those shepherds that had an encounter with you and suddenly had a voice. Suddenly there was something different and people were listening and they were amazed at what they heard. Pray that our life may glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Merry Christmas, everybody. So glad you're with us.